You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Men usually die as they live. He died as he lived, with confidence in his Father.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord Jesus, with faith in you, we place ourselves into the hands of your Father and ours. In life and in death, we follow you to the victory you have to give by your own death and resurrection. Give us the joy and the peace of life through faith in you, our God and Savior. Amen. A real man died that day for real people, calling out with a loud voice before he died, "It is finished." In that death of his, it was not life that was finished, but death itself. When other people die and say, "It is finished," they mean that life is over, with all of its little joys and sorrows, its successes and its failures, its sunshine and its sadness. Now it's all over. When Jesus Christ died on his cross, it was not life that was ended, but death that was done. He died, really died. He breathed his last. This is not sham and it's not play acting. It's for real. Because the Son of God really died, a remarkable fact that is against all of history and all of philosophy, against everything we ordinarily know or think, death itself has come a cropper. As real as his death was, so real is his victory over death. An innocent man died that day, apparently completely defeated. The crowds that had come to exult went away in deep sorrow. A centurion standing below the cross exclaimed, "Surely this was a good man. He was innocent." While all of that was happening, another great thing happened, which one of his men described in this way. "Death is swallowed up in victory. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." It takes a lot of faith to believe that. It takes more faith than I could muster on my own. I get that faith from him. He had it, and he gives it. It was about 12 o'clock, and the sun stopped shining, and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock. The curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." He said this and died. An army officer saw what had happened and he praised God, saying, "Certainly he was a good man." When the people gathered there to watch the spectacle, saw what had happened, they all went back home beating their breasts. All those who knew Jesus personally, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood off at a distance to see these things. That's what really happened. It's not a sentimental story, but it affects people the same way today. We look and we are troubled. We see and are struck within. It is just as if someone we know died there that day. It is just as if we ourselves died there that day. It is just as if the whole world died there that day. That's what happened. Really happened. He's a real man for real people everywhere. He died as he lived, trusting in his Father, trusting that the Father would vindicate him. The Father did. He does it all the time. Jesus went into this hour assuring himself and reassuring his men, "Now is the time for me to be glorified." It's a strange way to be glorified, but that's the way the Father does things. He knew his Father and trusted him all the way. He was obedient to his Father, even unto death, and that the death of a common criminal. If it seems to some people that he was carrying his trust too far, that would not be surprising. Even his men wondered about him as they stood watching things from a distance. But he trusted anyway, and he was vindicated. "Father," he said, "into your hands I commit my spirit." He always prayed with complete confidence in his Father. He died as he lived, trusting in his Father. Men usually die as they live. Only rarely does anybody come to a new understanding, even though it is always possible to do that, even at the last moment. Men die no better and no worse than they live. If their life was an open book, that's the way they die. If they were secretive, suspicious, envious, nasty when they lived, that's the way they die. If they were afraid of death when they were alive, you can imagine how they are when they die. Any pastor and any doctor can tell you all about that. This man died as he lived, not afraid to commit everything to his Father because he trusted in him. "Father, it's all yours now. Into your hands I commit my life, my breath, my everything." He did not make up his last prayer that day. It's a quotation from Psalm 31. It's the kind of stuff on which he was raised. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was a prayer his mother taught him to pray when he was a boy. Maybe the prayer she prayed with him before he went to sleep at night. He added one word to it, "Father." That's enough to make anybody want to pray, to know God as Father. Anybody who knows him that way doesn't have to be admonished to pray. That one word is a prayer in itself. Father. We live in an age of anxiety. Everywhere there's tension in national life, no matter which country you live in today. There's tension in international affairs, in business, in family life, in school, even in the church. Wherever you look, people are anxious. Whether it's in television programs, stories or articles printed in magazines, or in real life on the street, there's an undertone of anxiety in all of life today. It keeps coming up, like a shoe dropped accidentally on the pedal of an organ. If there is good news, you can be sure it will be followed by bad news. The bad news almost makes the good news sound like bad news. We think we've got everything under control, and then something happens to disrupt the whole business. No man alive has absolute control of his own future. Things happen in the midst of a placid existence that seem almost like a nonsensical turn of fate to mock the best laid plans of men. Sartre, a French existentialist, tells of a man who was caught during the French resistance movement of World War II. His captors tried to get him to betray his companions by telling where they were. To throw off his captors, he told them his friends were hiding in the most unlikely place he could think of. Soldiers were sent there, and sure enough, that was precisely where his friends had decided to hide. The most unlikely place that anybody could ever think of. That's how human plans, Sartre wanted to say, get all messed up. It is the irony of humanity and of history. We are not in control of our futures. For most people, there's darkness at the top of the stairs. They would just as soon stay downstairs where at least you can see, so they think. See where you're going. You can live with the anxiety as long as you're sure where the next step is going to land. That's when the rug is pulled out from under you and you break your leg. Others have to carry you upstairs. It's almost humorous because it's so human. People can't control their futures.
yet they go along blithely acting as if they can. Some of them talk bravely, and then they trust in the astrology columns in the newspapers. That would really be humorous if it were not taken so seriously by so many people, and half seriously by so many others. Somehow, we have to read that darkness at the top of the stairs. How are you going to do it if the light in your eyes is really darkness? A real man died there that day in the dark of the afternoon. The sun stopped shining. The crowd quit its yelling. He was alone. So it seemed, even to himself, at one time. Death is an enemy. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. A real man died there that day, face to face with the enemy. He was not alone. Even at the moment when it seemed to him as if the father had forgotten him, he never broke faith with his father. The father had sent him to do his will and his work. With confidence in his father, he came through that awful moment of forsakenness. He did not forget his father, and his father did not forget him. That's a real man? Yes. That's the real man whom God sent to die for real people like us, to be the savior of the world. Nobody else can be the savior of the world. No one will ever take his place. He is the one. In him, forgiveness. In him, life. In him, walking through death to life reborn. In him, resurrection. In him, heaven. In him, peace. Dr. Elizabeth Kibler Ross conducted some studies with dying patients in a Chicago hospital. She discovered that there's a pattern to human dying. It is almost universal because you see it in so many people. First, there's denial. This can't happen to me. Then there's anger. Why me? Why not somebody else? Next is a kind of bargaining. If only I had more time, maybe we can do something, postpone it, make a deal. Then comes depression. A period of deep sadness when it is apparent that nothing will avert the inevitable. Nothing will work. And finally, there's acceptance of what cannot be changed. I suppose that you could see some of this in Jesus Christ. He died as a real man for all of us real people. Death came to him as it comes to us, not as a welcome friend. But there's something in him that goes beyond all of this. That is trust. It is trust in his Father, who knows best and who always does what is best. This is faith, real faith, not just some form of piety. It's the hand that holds on when everything else lets go. Even death can't shake loose that hand. In the garden, when he was struggling with the prospect of death, he had faith. Father, he said, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. He did not play the hero. He was altogether human, and his men wanted us to know it. That's why they told us about it. He was altogether human when he prayed, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. He was altogether human when he said to the man on his right, Amen, amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. He was altogether human when he said, Woman, here is your son. Son, here is your mother. He was altogether human when he finally asked for a drink. I am thirsty. He was altogether human when he called out in his agony, my God, why have you abandoned me? In all of his humanity, he lifted up his victory cry, it is finished. And now, human to the core, he left it all in the hands of his Father. Father, into your hands I place my spirit. This is the Son of God, sent by his Father to be the Savior of the world. I take great comfort in his thoroughgoing humanity. This is the gospel. He bore in his own body our sins upon his cross. This is the way to die. Father, I leave it all to you. Into your hands I place myself. With this last breath, I am yours every bit. I see myself in that dying man. Not in every dying man, but in that dying man. He's like me, and he died for me. That's not just a figure of speech. He's a real man who really died for me. As he died, all die, and I'm one of them. I'm glad to be in the company of that dying man who died for me. He died for all, that those who live by faith in him might henceforth not live unto themselves, but unto him who for their sakes died and rose again. That's the way to live and to die, with faith in him and in the Father who sent him. He's my Father too. I know it because Jesus died for me. That's faith. It's not a dream. It's faith, taking death in its stride with hope that cannot be denied. With faith in Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior of the world, I know that death, bad as it is like going to sleep, only to wake up in the presence, the loving, gracious presence of his Father and mine. With faith in Jesus Christ, I say, and you can join me in saying it, in my waking and my going to sleep, in my receiving love and giving it again, in my fearings and rejoicings, in my health and in my sickness, in my doing and in my waiting, in my living and in my dying, Father, into your hands I place my spirit. Amen.
Have been listening to a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular